This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Everybody wants to know the reason, and the reason is very simple. Every time somebody asked me how long I was going to go, I would always say, as long as my health allows me to do it. But deep down inside, I knew that the only thing that would speed that up, if I did not feel that I was any longer the right man for the job. I'm not going to say the best man, because I never thought I was the best at anything. But 15 years at Kansas, I thought I was the right man. And this time at North Carolina, I thought I was the right man. I no longer feel that I am the right man for the job.
Packer and Durham on a Friday. We continue to stream live on the ESPN app. You've got us on SiriusXM 371. Number for the show is 844-SAY-ACCN. I'm Mark Packer. My partner's Wes Durham. A bunch of interesting guests today, as usual, as we try to, again, entertain and inform you over the next 3 hours. Mr. Wes Durham, how are we doing this morning on this crazy Friday?
Well, the old 10:05 got us, didn't it?
Boy, oh boy. And I got to tell you, this was the ultimate 10:05 curse that got us yesterday. And given the fact it was April the 1st, I will tell you, I was a bit leery when I first saw it. I'm like, oh, okay, great. Here we go with another cheese ball April Fool's joke. And then you realized about 10 minutes later, oh my goodness, Roy Williams, one of the legendary coaches in the history of college basketball, is stepping down after a really just one of the most remarkable runs you could ever ask for. And a great coach, great person, and we wish he and Wanda the very best for the grandkids and keeping it in the short grass, as I put on Twitter yesterday. It's been a joy to watch him coach, watch him work. He's been a joy to talk to. He's always been great, super friendly. Couldn't ask more, but man, I got to tell you, you heard whispers, but you're like, nah, man, we're always going to be back. Come on now. He's not going to go out after that Wisconsin game. But lo and behold, time was right for Roy Williams to step down and move into the next chapter of his incredible life.
Mark, what was your first thought yesterday?
Well, I just told you. I thought it was a joke. I really did. I thought it was an absolute joke.
Okay,
and I was
good.
Like, oh, okay, come on now.
All right.
I mean, I've seen better ones, but, you know, we're going to be all right here. I mean, Roy's going to be rocking. He's going to go out and get more great players and in this crazy world that we're in. But I really did. I thought it was a bad joke. And then, like I said, 10:15, 10:20, you realized, man, press conference is at 4, and saw it on ESPN, and Steve Kirshner puts out the release. I said, no, I don't think this is a joke. This is the real deal. But again, like I said, the guy's been an incredible coach. He's been great for not only the University of North Carolina and Kansas, but you're great for college basketball. I thought when you saw the real movers and shakers of the sport and what they had to say yesterday, social media and statements, they were spot on. Right. I mean, a brilliant coach, one of the all-time great careers, Hall of Fame times a trillion. But what he meant to the game, I thought, was the most important aspect here.
Yeah, I was asked yesterday if I was surprised, and I said, well, surprised, but I'm not stunned, right? I mean, I don't know how you feel about it, but look, I any of these coaches, and I'll just use Coach Williams as the first because he is the first of the 70-plus in the ACC to retire. Any of these coaches now are not going to surprise me. They're not going to you know, it could happen, right? Somebody could decide, hey, look, I've had my run, and that's basically what Roy Williams announced yesterday. I will share with you in relation to April 1st. Yesterday, about, 10:19, here's the text on the phone, right? Text on the phone comes from my mom, Miss Jean Pack, right? Miss Jean hits me up on the phone
gospel.
On the text.
The gospel.
Miss Jean says, do you know press conference at 4 p.m.? Roy is retiring. I respond, it's April 1st. She then gets me on the phone, and she's having coffee with Diane Rosenbluth, who is the wife of Lenny Rosenbluth, the legendary Tar Heel figure from the 1957 team. Diane and Lenny are great friends of my mom and dad's, and Diane and my mom have coffee every once in a while. And all of a sudden, while they were sitting there having coffee, Lenny called Diane to tell her, that there was a press conference at 4 o'clock. Now, my mom's going to not be very happy with me playing, you know, all the details out on this, but I told her, I said, well, if that happened, it's happening. So there you go. At 10:20-ish yesterday. So the 10:05 definitely got us. But how about that? Word traveled fast yesterday, and next thing you know, Roy Williams is done after 903 wins. And if you want to categorize Roy Williams' impact on college basketball, two simple ways to do it. Number one, he's the only coach to win 400 or more at two institutions. Think about that. And think about the two institutions he won 400 or more. Second is this. When you think of the journey and the path in coaching, and Pac, we've talked about this a lot, right, for various people. His path to coaching and his path to staying in the business, and you and I know this from kind of the way the business was in the 1970s to the 80s and so on and so forth, his path to coaching, no wonder he loves coaches. No wonder he's a big fan of coaches, because his path to doing this is inspiring. I mean, the fact that he walked away from a high school job and was selling calendars and currying my dad's television show with Dick Crum and Dean Smith all over the state to make extra money, camps, things like that. Roy Williams' path to success and 900 and some wins is, it's a pretty compelling story when you think about it, and then the success he ultimately had, not only at KU, but certainly at Carolina with three national titles.
Well, there was a statement that Roy made yesterday. Two things here. And I was on the radio from 4 to 7, so I did not hear the press conference live, but I went back and watched it. There were two things that jumped out at me. Number one, for a guy as from his humble beginnings, and has always had it in kind of in perspective at North Carolina and even at Kansas. Again, two of the most incredible, bluest of the blue blood schools you can possibly imagine when it comes to college basketball. To have the success that he did at both institutions, I always thought he had it kind of in perspective, big picture. And for a guy like Roy Williams to make the comment, and we just played it leading off the show, quote, "I no longer feel like I'm the right man for the job." Do you know how difficult it would be to make that comment when you have accomplished everything that he has accomplished? I mean, hey, when 200 years from now, when people are talking North Carolina basketball, they'll go, man, that Roy Williams era was great, wasn't it? Man alive, was he awesome. And so to be a guy that has accomplished everything that he has, to make that statement on his farewell, I just was like, whoa. That was a heavy statement for a guy with, again, with every box checked. The other thing that jumped out at me was, and I thought about what I said on this show earlier this week. The ACC coming off a 4-7, really downer of a tournament. We're going through a very interesting transition in college athletics. Transfer portal, name, image, and likeness. The game is changing right in front of us. Sports is changing in front of us. The power of the student athlete. Kids just getting up and leaving in the middle of the night. I mean, it's different now, right? Different generation, different rules, different society. The sport's changing. And here we are, and I believe if you go back and listen, I said, you know, we've got three or four Hall of Fame coaches in their 70s. This is going to be a fascinating time in the history of the league when you've got incredible all-timers like Boeheim and Krzyzewski and Williams and Larinaga. Right. And Leonard Hamilton, all these guys over 70. And again, I'm not knocking the age, but times are changing. And man, you better be able to adjust. This is not putting together a team like you're able to do it in the 70s, the 80s, or the 90s. Different universe. Forget one and done. That was a different era. This is another era unlike the one and done. And Roy Williams yesterday made a comment when I went back and listened to it, and it floored me. He said, quote, he was talking about all the things he loved, coaching, putting together a team, and then there was a pause, and he said, quote, "I'm scared to death of the next phase." And when he said it, and when I listened to it, and again, I didn't hear it live, I went, bam, there it is. That was the line of everything that was said in his press conference that jumped out at me, where it was like, that is throwing the dart and hitting the bullseye, and the dart going through the bullseye. a guy like Roy Williams, 903 wins, three natties. I mean, you name a category, check, he's done it. And for a guy with that, with those, you know, credits and accomplishments to go, I am scared to death of the next phase. That's the quote. It was everything I needed to hear. I said, that is it right there for me. That, you know what, this is a different universe, and trying to put together a team, recruiting through high school, you know, the transfer thing, which is one thing, one and done's, which is a different deal, name, image, and likeness has come. It told me everything I need to know. And Roy Williams, to his credit, I give him all the credit in the world. Hey, could he have just kept coaching? And, you know, the legacy is going to be the legacy. Well, the all-time greats. He could. You know, he just gave back three. He and his wife just gave back $3 million to the school. He loves the institution.
Crazy.
He loves the institution. Yep. And the institution has loved him back. But for a guy to say, I am scared to death of the next phase, tells you everything you need to know. And for guys like Krzyzewski and Larrañaga and Hamilton and Boeheim, Tony Bennett, you name it, this is a different world that we're getting ready to jump into. This is a different deep end of the pool, if you will. So like I said, it's going to be fascinating to watch. Our jobs the next couple of years, assuming we're still employed here, this is going to be as interesting a time in ACC basketball history. And then we go through different phases. We're getting ready to enter one, and it's going to be amazing to watch North Carolina with this coaching search. And it's going to happen to Duke. It's going to happen to Syracuse. It's going to happen to Florida State. It's going to happen to everybody else who thinks basketball is important. We are going through a crazy phase, and you know what? Who knows where it's going to go?
Yep. We will get to some of your calls today, 844-SAY-ACCN. We welcome your conversation, of course. Billy Packer will be here bottom of the hour, which is huge, getting Billy ready to ride this morning. And Mark was able to negotiate a successful appearance.
It was a negotiation.
8:15, Eric
Mont. It was definitely a negotiation, I assure you.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
The next head coach of the Tar Heels, Coach Roy Williams.
No doubt in Detroit, North Carolina, the national champions.
And the national title is won on a final shot.
Redemption is found in the desert. The Tar Heels have won their sixth national title.
You've made me a better man, and that's the most important thing. I'm 10 times better man than when I was I got here. So thank you.
Packer and Durham on a Friday. Happened yesterday around 10:05, right after we said adios, goodbye, enjoy the rest of your day. Roy Williams, after really 33 magical years as a head coach at Kansas and at North Carolina, called it quits. And people were buzzing about it. And here we are on the eve, if you will, the Final Four weekend. And the biggest story, that had anything to do with the Zags or UCLA. Or Baylor or Houston, has everything to do with the University of North Carolina as a head coaching position that is open for business. And again, when you go through the Roy numbers, though, Wes, it is staggering. I mean, the consistency is just ridiculous. But, you know, it probably shouldn't be a surprise, given that we got used to it with Dean Smith, right? After all those decades of brilliance, Roy Williams basically picked up the pieces and said, you know what, let's keep it going. And that's exactly what he did.
Yeah, I mean, the 485 at his alma mater is one thing, 75% another. You see the 45 NCAA tournament wins, the 16 apps in the tournament, three national titles, and as Drew Brooks pointed out, three national titles at his alma mater is the very best of anybody in major college basketball. So all those kind of stand out. The other thing, Tupac, is, and I keep going back to the journey, because the passion and the loyalty he has for the University of North Carolina is pretty unbelievable. It's going to be hard to find somebody who wants that university and holds that university in a spot where Roy Williams held it. And of all the things he accomplished as the basketball coach, I think, Mark, you know this, and I do from following the ACC, he was passionate about Chapel Hill. He's passionate about that campus, and that's what it meant when you came from, you know, Western North Carolina with $100 in your pocket to be, you know, a student at the university in Chapel Hill because his high school coach went to school there, and Carolina was this iconic destination. And that passion and that loyalty to Carolina is something that, you know, it's hard to replicate, but he put it in your blood. I mean, you know, Harrison Barnes is from Ames, Iowa, and loves Carolina. Tyler Hansbrough's been on this show. You know that. He's from Poplar Bluff, Missouri, and loves Carolina. And that's because of Roy Williams. And I think that's something that everybody, you know, you hope that down the road that momentum stays. But he was singular in that passion and loyalty to Carolina as the head basketball coach. I think that was a really critical piece of his tenure as their man, too.
This week we celebrated the anniversary of Tony Bennett being signed on as the head basketball coach mm-hmm. in Virginia. We talked about fits, right, in this league. Perfect fits. Yeah. Tony Bennett, Virginia, Dabo Sweeney, Clemson. Again, there's multiple ones here. But the love affair, like I said, it was a two-way street with Roy Williams in North Carolina and North Carolina with Roy Williams. Two-way street. And that's not always the case. And so you mentioned not being able to find – I think there will be people that love North Carolina and will love them back. But the thing that's so intriguing here is while we celebrate Roy's amazing run, and it was amazing, in this crazy world that we live in of social media, it was almost as if, hey, okay, Roy's retired. All right, who's going to replace him? Like, we went immediately to, all right, who's going to replace? Like, okay, great, Roy, get out of the way. And it was almost like, whoa, time out. Let's appreciate what this guy's been able to do. And, you know, when he decided to finally say, hey, I'm coming back home, to North Carolina, because Kansas doesn't take a backseat to anybody when it comes to the tradition and history of college basketball, right? And he was the head coach at a place that, quite frankly, you'd never want to leave. But there was only one place in Roy Williams' heart, only one inkling of a spot that he would have ever given it any consideration, and he took it. And that wasn't easy to do. He said no the first time. The second time, hey, he knew he had to come back and basically – get North Carolina back on track. And that wasn't easy. People just assume, oh, Roy's at North Carolina. They're going to go ahead and win 30. Dude, let me tell you something. If it was that easy, everybody would be winning 30 games. It's not. And that goes to the brilliance of Roy Williams and putting together a staff and getting North Carolina back on track, right? And that, he gets all the credit in the world for that.
Yep.
But finding the next guy, Wes, there isn't anyone with the credentials. Roy Williams had the credentials when North Carolina went through this before, where he said, hey, listen, there is a natural A to Z, right? We're going to go through the Dean Smith era, and no disrespect to Guthridge and Doherty. Hey, we got to get this thing back on track. Roy Williams is the answer, 100% the answer. I think now, and this is why I said this early in the week, this, you know, replacing a legend is never easy. Now, we've seen it in football recently, I think with Lincoln Riley replacing Bob Stoops, been kind of a seamless transition. They've had great success, but you know, Lincoln Riley's not even won a college football playoff game. You know, Ryan Day, I think at Ohio State, has done a brilliant job, you know, after Urban Meyer. But Ryan Day had won a national championship. So, I mean, I'm just saying, this is a hard deal. And for a guy like Bubba Cunningham and whatever the staff is going to be that goes out and says, all right, who's the next man? This is going to be a fascinating thing to watch because there isn't the Roy Williams in the wings, right? When you start talking about in the family. I talked to Phil Ford yesterday. And Ford, you know, I asked him about being in the family. We'll play that quote later on and that you'll hear it. And in a perfect world, you'd like to say, hey, listen, you know what? The tentacles have been spread. We can go get another guy from the family. And you very well might. I don't know. But nobody in the quote-unquote family has the credentials that Roy Williams had while he was at Kansas and said, you know what, I'm coming home to Carolina. And so that is what is going to make this a really interesting byproduct of, okay, tag, you're it, North Carolina. We wish Roy the best. Like I said, I hope he keeps it in the short grass the rest of his life and makes every four-footer. But watching this whole process is going to be unbelievable. It's going to be phenomenal to watch.
And Bubba Cunningham last night with the media, good stop here to add this. Bubba Cunningham last night Following the press conference yesterday afternoon at 7 o'clock, visited with about 85 members of the media for a half hour. And Bubba Cunningham was pretty clear in that he knows he may have the best job in college basketball.
Right now, I believe we've got the best job in college basketball. And this job doesn't come open very often. And we need to spend a great deal of time thinking about who is the right person right now. And I do think that, you know, the often used word is fit. I think that is part of it. And I think time and circumstance is all part of that as well. The history and tradition of here is winning. We've had it in the family for a long period of time. And that is important, but it's not the only factor in trying to make a decision like this. And so at this point, we're not going to have a search committee. It's going to be myself and the chancellor doing all of the work and the research in attempting to identify candidates that we think make sense for the university at this point. And then we'll make recommendations to our board of trustees.
There you go.
See, I like that. You know why? Because this whole search committee thing is a joke. I think that when you're in, and I kidded around yesterday leading off the show, get to work, right? Well, that's what's made America great. You roll up your sleeves, hurt or not, you go get to work. I like the fact that the guy in charge, it says, hey, listen, it's on my watch. I want to be the one that says, hey, Chancellor, let's go do our due diligence here. We don't need somebody to tell us how to do our job. You know, if you're confident and and capable of doing it, you go lift your, you know, you do the heavy lifting. So I loved what Bubba just said right there. You know, you don't need a search committee to tell me who's the right man for North Carolina. 100% right.
I tell you, in being a part of that last night and listening to Bubba Cunningham's comments, I cannot tell you how impressed I was with, number one, A, how many ADs in the country do that after a coach retires, Pac? Right? How many ADs step up there and talk to the media and take questions for about 30, 35 minutes, right? That doesn't happen very often, wouldn't you agree?
The competent ones do.
Yeah, well, no question. He's that for sure. Two things he said that I want to reiterate. One, fit, timing, and circumstance. Carolina's been there. 2000, right, Pac?
Yep.
Fit, timing, and circumstance. Okay? So he understands that part of it. Second thing he said we didn't run is, yeah, they'd like a coach with head coaching experience. That would be preferred. But certain attributes outweigh the others, okay? So there are a lot of different combinations here. This process is going to play out. He said as quickly as he can. I'm not going to be terribly surprised if 10 days, 14 days max, we're talking about a new basketball coach at Carolina. Because I think Bubba Cunningham realizes, as you talked about, this volatile landscape of college basketball. And it's important to get some degree of calm put in here, even when you're making a coaching change from one of the most successful runs in basketball history.
Somebody asked me yesterday, all right, Pac, tag, you're it, you're in control, which I'm not, thank goodness, for everybody's sake. What would you do? And I said, well, you know what? And Bubba, again, will be perfect for this. But I said, if I wasn't running the show here in North Carolina, I would make two phone calls. All right. And again, I know North Carolina fans go, Pac, we want to keep in the family. Hey, well, the object's to get the best basketball coach for, quote unquote, the best basketball job in college hoops. I would call, in no particular order, Mark Few and Jay Wright and just say, hey, guys, you're awesome. You're great. Your legacies are set. But I'd have to ask you, would you have any particular interest in our position? And if you got no's, great. Mm-hmm. Down the road you go. Wish them the very best because they're awesome at what they do. But the fits, I mean, to me, if you told me Mark Few or Jay Wright would show up at North Carolina, you've hit it a home run and then some. But that's what I would do. But I'm not part of the committee, and that's why sitting back and watching the real professionals work here is going to be really kind of exciting to see what direction North Carolina goes in here. Mm-hmm.
Totally agree. Phil Ford joined Pac yesterday on SiriusXM 84's off-campus show, and he talked about whether or not the job needs to go to somebody who's got a Carolina connection.
I've always said, you know, it would be nice, but then again, if it's not, I don't think you can really knock it these days because there's so much involved in it. You know, I mean, the programs now, they bring in, they represent the school in so many different ways. Like, for me, of course, I would love for it to be someone in the Carolina family or tree, per se. But if Bubba decides to go somewhere along the other lines, I think we have to respect that, too.
That was one legend talking about another legend right there. Phil Ford, we appreciate him being on the show yesterday afternoon on Off Campus. But everybody's got an opinion. But, you know, tag your it if you're Bubba and company, because this is, like I said, this is going to be a fascinating watch coming up here in Chapel Hill.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
It's a Friday. There is a ton to talk about.
Yeah.
And let's now go to our next guest who you've probably seen do a gazillion sale with the Pilots, national championship games on CBS, NBC, and also
Mr. Cash
commercials, and apparently a new member of the Atlanta Police Department. That'd be Billy Packer, dear old dad. Billy, good morning. How are you?
How are you guys?
We're good. By the way, Gigi got home last night and still very upset at you pretending to be a part of the Atlanta Police Department. Very upset.
Yeah, well, I thought she deserved that.
That's great.
I know one thing. She changed her panties when she hung up that telephone.
But not before she texted me totally upset because dear old granddad driving everybody nuts. All right, let's get to the business at hand. Roy Williams, an incredible run at Kansas and at North Carolina, calls it quits yesterday. You know, we're going through an interesting time, Billy. And, you know, I mentioned to Wes and everybody on the show, I thought one of the things that he said yesterday, quote, "I'm scared to death of the next phase." And for a guy that had accomplished as much as he has, I thought that was a very telling statement.
You know, the dignity in which he resigned remind me of Coach Wooden. I was there the day that he coached his actually the semifinals, and beat Louisville, as you can remember. And I remember talking to Coach Wooden about this many times thereafter after he retired. But he said he decided walking across the floor that it was the right time for him to get out of the game. And they went into that press conference talking about going to be playing against Kentucky in the finals and having beaten Louisville. And somebody asked a question about that particular team, and he said, "I've enjoyed coaching my last team as much as I did my first team." And everybody kept asking questions, and then somebody raised their hand and said, "Coach, does that mean that you're stepping down after Monday's game?" And he said, "Yes, I will be stepping down." And it was such dignity and clarity. And I thought watching Roy yesterday personified the kind of person he is. And I'll be honest with you, I watched a number of their games this year, or portions thereof, and your mother would get so angry at me because I'd say, you know, it's time. The game and where this game is going is not where Roy Williams needs to be or probably wants to be. I'd never talked to him about it. So when it came yesterday, it didn't surprise me. So back to your question and what he said, I sure know that the kind of guy he is, because he's a very engaging person. I think he's going to find a lot of neat things to do with his life, including his family and golf, which he loves so much. But he also may be talking about the sport itself. And if he does, it would be right up my alley, because I think the game is in a situation right now where it's going to take and I don't think the NCAA is the right people. I think the national basketball coaches in the United States ought to put together a committee, and Roy would be a terrific guy to be one of those heading it up to say, where is the college game? How did it get where it is today, and how do we make it in the future be something that can be both credible be reasonable to do and be totally accepted by the fans. And so I don't know which way he was meaning. I know he'll be very happy in his own personal life, but he may have been talking about the game itself. And he would be a great guy to spend time with other people like him, and there aren't a whole bunch of them, that would sit down and say, what do we do about the game?
Billy, I want to put some you're the perfect person to ask this question, because yesterday when I watched the press conference, I thought of a lot of different things, but I also thought, at the end of the day, Roy Williams is walking away as the head basketball coach at the University of North Carolina, much like Dean Smith walked away as the head basketball coach. He realized that while he enjoyed the game, the process to the game was not something in some ways I think he wanted to be part of. And I sensed some of that yesterday with Roy Williams.
You know, I think that's a great statement, and I feel exactly the same way. I think that Coach Smith would have coached for many years thereafter the time that he retired, but I think that he saw with guys leaving early, and guys leaving early that basically one left without even discussing it with him, and you know that he was so close to his players. I think that he left the game not because he didn't love the coach and love the University of North Carolina. He left the game because I'm not the right guy to be in this moment of basketball. And I think the parallel that you point out there is exactly on the money, because I think that watching Roy coach this year, and I'm not saying this in any way to be negative about his incredible career, but I said often to my wife, I said, it's time for Roy to be doing something else, because this is not what he really wants to see or want to be part of. That was my gut instinct, and I think the same thing held true for Coach Smith. I think that's a great point.
Billy, how do you – I mean, the guy accomplished so much. I mean, you start going through the incredible list of accomplishments. We're talking about one of the all-timers here, aren't we? I mean, at the end of the day, and legacies, and, you know, this is why this is such a big deal, that this is not just a guy that, yeah, won a few championships. No, this guy, from the way the game was played, the relationship with players, the connection with community, the perfect fit. We don't talk about – we talk about fits a lot, but this was a perfect fit when you said Roy Williams in North Carolina.
You know, it's really interesting. I was thinking about him yesterday and thinking about the first time I ever heard his name. And I was selling radio time. Was part of an owner in a radio station, and one of my best clients was a guy by the name of Bob Neal in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. He was a huge North Carolina fan and supporter. And I was in calling on him, and he didn't care for me too much because of I wasn't embedded with North Carolina. And so he was a tough sale. And I went in one day, and he reached behind his desk. He said, would you like a calendar? And I'm thinking, yeah. Well, I don't need a calendar. And so he picked it up, and it was the University of North Carolina basketball calendar. And I said, no, I wouldn't need one of those, Bob. And he said, well, Roy was just here delivering them. And I'm thinking, who's Roy? And he said, you know Roy? And I said, Roy who? And he said, Roy Williams. I said, no, I don't believe I know him. And that's when Roy was just getting his start under Coach Smith. And one of his job was deliver calendars. And I used to kid him about that, because he would deliver calendars to help support his income as an assistant coach at the University of North Carolina. So it wasn't like he was anointed to be the man that he became. But he's the kind of guy that whatever it took for the university and its program, that's what he would be doing. So kind of an inauspicious welcome to who Roy Williams was. But as the years went on, and I will say this, when he got the Kansas job, you know, I thought I knew everything. And I'm thinking, now, wait a second here. Dean Smith has got a lot of power. But how in the world did he get Roy Williams from an assistant coach to the head coach at one of the most important programs in the country, particularly following Larry, who had been out there, obviously, with a national championship? And I never really understood, and this is one of the great things where you're taught lessons. Hey, wait a second, Billy, you don't know anything about Roy Williams and have no knowledge about basketball that even close to what Dean Smith has. And Roy went out there and as everybody knows, had a great, great run at the University of Kansas as well. I think back at his great victories at Kansas, and we can all go back. There's always seems to be a connection there with that Kansas and North Carolina. You remember it, the year that he played against Dean in the Final Four in 91.
Yeah.
And I remember doing that game, and there was real hesitancy. Dean did not want to ever play against, you know, one of his former players or coaches, and, of course, they had no choice there meeting in that semifinal. And that was the game where Dean Smith was ejected at the end of the game, and Bill Guthridge took over, and, you know, Roy ended up beating the University of North Carolina with his Kansas team, and one of the more dramatic semifinal endings that I've ever seen in the game, where you have the great Dean Smith being ejected in a semifinals of an NCAA game, one of the guys with the best bench decorum there's ever been. So I think back of that. And another thing that I think back in his Kansas time is one of the best college teams of all time that never got any credit for was the team that he had that lost to Arizona in the NCAA regional semis. That team, in my estimation, was one of the best teams that college basketball has ever seen, and Lute Olson paraded on in there to Birmingham, Alabama, and beat them that day. And what I thought was an incredible upset, and then, of course, they went on and won the national championship. But that had to be not only a great team, but one of Roy's lowest moments, because that team was certainly destined to be a national champion.
All right, two things that have come up in this process. And once again, Mark, Billy has provided us with great insight on some things. Number one, that Bob Neal, who is a mega car salesman in Winston-Salem, not think Billy was favorable to Carolina, which is a shocker to all of Carolina fans through the years who didn't think Billy was riding with them. It's a stunner, but we'll get over it, as they say.
Yeah.
I'm glad.
$300 sale that day.
Oh,
that's right. Yeah, it's spot radio.
I'll tell you what, that was right, food now on the table for the Packer household, those WAIR daddy-o on the patio days.
That's right. That's
daddy-o on the patio. There you go.
A piece.
Yeah.
That's it. All right. Second is this. Billy, and you recognize this team, and I thought about that team last night that lost to Arizona in Birmingham, because that showed his personal investment in team building as much as any other team he coached. The ones we saw that won the national title, well, hell, that's easy. But the ones that don't win, that's the one where his personal investment in the team building concept, I think, really showcased. And that 97 Kansas team you just spoke of that lost to Arizona and Birmingham, that's the one to me that if you had to do it all over again, man, you'd think that one would win the whole deal.
Yeah, you know, we always talk about the great teams in college basketball, and we always, right away, you jump out teams that won national championships. But it's kind of like Tark's team that lost to Duke. That team did not win the national championship, but certainly has to be one of the greatest teams of all time in college basketball. I'd put this Kansas club that we're talking about here right up in that same category. I mean, you're talking about Paul Pierce and Jock Vaughn and Jared Haas and Rafe LaFrance. I mean, we're talking about a veteran and NBA caliber players that didn't get back
real
to the regional semifinal. You know, it's kind of that might have been his greatest Kansas team, and it didn't win it. Just like Dean's greatest team, in my estimation, was the team in Michael Jordan's last year that lost to Indiana. Yeah. So it's kind of crazy what happens in these incredible careers, and not wanting to talk about anything negative on a day like this, because Roy is certainly to be celebrated, but that's part, and I think you make a great point, part of the character of Coach Smith and Roy. And it's one of the things that I know I'd talked to a lot of coaches over the years and talk about, well, Dean should have won more games with the players that he had. And they really, a lot of those people never understood that winning a specific game or changing the program's methodology winning that game was not as important as the program. And so when you look back at Dean Smith and when you look back at Roy, they were about the program and how the program would proceed and how individual players would develop and how a team would develop and the coordination of the team. That was more important than saying, well, you know what, in that Indiana game, we're going to call a timeout and tell Michael Jordan, just take this game over. That's just not the way that Dean Smith operated, nor did Roy. And let's face it, Roy is the first guy to give incredible credits to all the things that he learned and discovered under Coach Smith. But it's one thing to be part of Coach Smith's program. It's another thing to leave and then go on to take on a Kansas program that had a great tradition on probation and turn right around and have that team back in the Final Four in a couple of years, and then come down to North Carolina, where the program was really in disarray, when you think of North Carolina's program, in total disarray, and turn right around and do the same things there. If he says he's not in the caliber of Dean Smith, I wouldn't agree with him, because not only did he learn under Coach Smith, he put those things into practice, and his record goes up against anybody that's ever coached the game.
Billy, one more thing. You have seen the ACC specifically in multiple decades as a player, a coach, and broadcaster. Do you not get a sense that in 2021 that we're getting ready to go through an era beginning right now? With this is the first of many Hall of Famers in their 70s, and at some point in time, Coach K and Boeheim and Larrañaga and Leonard Hamilton, and I mean, these are brilliant coaches. They're in their 70s, and at some point in time here in the near future, in all likelihood, they're going to say, hey, it's time for me to go play with the grandkids and go play golf. A fascinating time for the Atlantic Coast Conference, isn't it? I mean, that transition of Hall of Fame coaches and the transition of where college athletics are going with name, image, and likeness, the transfer portal, and everything else that's happening. It's kind of like you can sense that we're on the doorstep of a new era across the board here.
Mark, I think it's and this, like I said, back to your original statement about scary for Roy in the future. If he was talking about basketball, I think that it really is scary to me. They talk about this transfer portal and name and likeness of players. Let me tell you something. I almost think now, I said when this transfer stuff started, I said my most important assistant and maybe even a staff of assistants is out recruiting the players that play for other coaches at the present time, because you can go ahead and know exactly what a junior player that's playing well at some other school can be valuable to you in your program next year. A ridiculous idea to put in play. The name and likeness is ridiculous, because you know who might be my most important assistant coach, even above those looking at the portal, would be the assistant coaches that is out looking at potential sponsors of my eventual players, so that I can have offers to give from car dealers and from restaurants and from shopping centers, and that's part of the offer of coming to my school. And those jobs better be sitting there, and those opportunities for name and likeness sitting there. So just think, if you're a Mike Krzyzewski, and I don't want to jump over to Mike today because certainly he's one of those guys that's facing these same kind of questions. Do I want to be part and parcel of that type of a system? And do I have time to adjust everything that I've done for all my life to this new system that's about to arrive? And can I make that adjustment? And in the case of Roy Williams, if what he was talking about is that future, I think he made a judgment, and I think it was a great judgment. I don't want to be part of it, because it's not what I really believe in. And I think you make a great point, and a coach has got to look into his heart, into his head, and say, do I want to be part of it? Or, what I would love to see, I'd love to see these same guys you're talking about, not only Atlantic Coast Conference, but around the country, to say, I don't care what the portal system is, here's what we're going to agree. We are not taking a transfer. We're not going to take a transfer. Yep. Number two, we are not going to go ahead and get in the business of finding sponsors for our players. You know, if they want to go out and do it, or that's their business, but we're not going to do it. And it would have to be a united effort. Otherwise, we're looking at a coaching situation in the future and college basketball in the future. I don't know if the average fan will really want to be involved with it. I'll be quite honest with you. And and the G League that the NBA is getting involved in, if you're a kid and you've been told since you're 14 years old that you're the next Michael Jordan and you've been working on your individual game instead of the game of basketball, do you want to be part of that process as a coach? If you do, that's a whole new era of people, because it doesn't involve the guys we're talking about, or that you were talking about there. It is a scary time. And you make another good point. One of the reasons that the league has been so great for so long is the quality of coaching that was in the league. And that is about to change.
Yep. Billy, great to hear from you. Thank you for the time. You're very kind to join us.
May I tell you one more story about Roy Williams?
Go ahead.
We got to go.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay. He loves to play golf. So we're at an NCAA meeting one time, and we're told that we're going to be playing golf together, and he's a much better player than I and loves to play. And so we go out there, and there is President Ford on the first tee. And they said he wanted to play golf with us. Okay, come on, you got to be kidding. Well, we play about six holes, and President Ford's about 90 at the time, I believe, and he's doing fine. The Secret Service are with him, and we get to about the sixth hole, and the Secret Service says, President, this will be your last hole. And he seems to be enjoying himself, and I figured maybe he'd make that damn decision. So he plays that hole, and he says, Mr. President, that was it. And he said, oh, no, I'm going to play another hole. And said, no, Betty has told you this is your last hole. He said he jumped right in the golf cart and got right off the golf course. And Roy and I were standing there laughing and saying, well, now we know who really runs this country. It was really kind of a
there you
scene.
Go.
Nothing's changed. See ya.
Thanks, take care. Yep. All right. Billy Packer.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham. On a Friday, many thanks to dear old dad, Billy Packer. We have many more guests coming your way, as Wes referenced to. We'll also take your phone calls at 844-SAY-ACCN, including Darius in North Carolina, who has been holding patiently this morning. Darius, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing great, guys. It's great to have you all on the air. I told your assistant, and I'll be very quick. It's an honor to be on after Billy Packer. Boy, I'm walking in some high cotton this morning, fellas.
Well, I mean, you know, welcome to our world. I mean, you know, it's we're just lucky to be employed.
Hey, look, I'm uptown Charlotte, chilling in my condo. Got you and Wes blasting, feeling good. Eating my Bojangles biscuit, bacon, egg, and cheese, Packer.
Nice. I like the way you're thinking there. That's good.
Yes, sir.
Name, image, and likeness combo right there.
Yeah, hey, I don't get your treatment, but it's okay. They say, good morning, Mr. Little. They don't give my dog anything. She doesn't get recognized. I'm working on the VIP treatment, bud.
There you go. So what do you got?
Yes, sir. Just wanted to make a few quick comments. First of all, appreciate your dad's comments. You guys, first of all, are very blessed, and I hope you all know this. You know it. You guys are just like Roy Williams. You are humble, but you guys know you're blessed. Both of you had great fathers. I was a student at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, West, back in the 2000s, 2001. And so Carl Torbush, 3-8, sat through all those games. but anyway, your dad does a great job. I got into a disagreement with Woody Durham one time. He helped me learn some Carolina sports history. Woody was trying to educate me. It was right when Bill Guthridge had retired. And we were on the air. I think Adam Gold had us on a show called 850 The Buzz out of Raleigh, North Carolina. He actually had me on with Woody Durham, and I disagree with Woody, and Woody actually is a good guy. I learned so much about Woody. You think people of those capacities, when you're a student, don't pay you any attention. Woody actually emailed me. Wes has a good father. You guys had good parents, and I just want to say that on the air. Everybody, appreciate your parents. I grew up in a freaking orphanage. Appreciate your parents. You guys had great dads, and I mean, just awesome. But anyway, Roy Williams is an humble guy, talking about humility. He could have easily just hung around, man, and just stacked numbers to catch Krzyzewski. I think it says a lot about him. And I'm going to get off the air, but I just want to commend you guys. We pray for you guys. Hope you stay on the air. Do a great job. You guys are very detailed. You actually give us substance. And we're just proud to have you on the air, man. Listen to you guys every morning uptown. And we just want you to know you're blessed. And we pray over you. Just ask that you bless our conference. Continue to do your jobs, man. Y'all are great people. And we just love you. And I'm looking at y'all the TV. I just love you guys.
Thanks,
y'all are
man.
Awesome. Roy Williams is humble. And hope we get a good coach. He went out on a high note. And, yeah, you guys have pretty much said it all. So just wanted to call in, send some positive energy. All we right. love you guys, man. Keep up the great work.
Thank you very much. Appreciate your kind words.
Appreciate that.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.